Tonight we're going to wrap up Ecclesiastes, so we're going to turn to chapter 11 this evening, chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. You remember Solomon as he's kind of gone over these different views on life, you know, and he's just looking at it from the perspective of, again, someone who's backslidden, someone who's gotten distanted from God. The relationship with the Lord is kind of not so much the main focus anymore, and he's just kind of shifted his views. And, you know, again, I think it's so important to remember that whenever that happens, we start to look to fill that void again, just like we did before. You know, when we were first giving our lives to the Lord, you know, we acknowledged our need and we gave our lives to the Lord. He filled the void and there was no question about any of it. But as life goes on, sometimes you get slide back into old patterns, and then all of a sudden you find yourself trying to fill the void in the very thing that drove you to the cross to begin with, and how important that is to be careful of this. And I think as we've gone through and we've seen Solomon's life, all his pursuits in those first six chapters, and we saw his desire through all these different things to try and find fulfillment through money and through work and, you know, just the career then, and his identity was going to be in that. And then it was through all the wives and concubines and all the partying and all the different things that he went through trying to find the fulfillment in life. He was going to be the most educated person, and very much was an educated person, but found that that wasn't fulfilling enough in and of itself. And then the philosophy, and studied all these philosophies. And, you know, it's just fascinating to me how that parallels just the human existence as a total. You know, all of humanity just seems to, you know, you meet different people and they're just so into these different pursuits, but is it really different than what Solomon was pursuing, trying to find the fulfillment in life through these different things? And so we saw that as in those first six chapters. Then he hits chapter 7 and he kind of strikes off, and he's going to be this moral guy now, and he's going to look at everything through this moral perspective, and he's not going to be this wild party animal anymore. He's going to be more the family guy and kind of look at things through that perspective. And we saw how he's looking at this, and he's given off some interesting things, and some of it, what's fascinating is we find even tonight as we go through, there is truth there. A lot of what he shares is truth, and I was reminded myself of being a backslidden Christian at a young age, and remembering the truth and talking with people and could share the truth, but wasn't really living in it. Knew the truth, knew things that were going on, but wasn't really walking in it. And so there's really that danger that's there with that, of knowing the truth. And I really found that as we look at Solomon's life in this stage and phase, that he really was very distracted with his own personal loss of that relationship with the Lord. And I really believe that the most miserable people aren't just those who are lost in the world, but those who know the Lord and aren't walking with the Lord. They're miserable. It's just a bummer. You know, you just, there's no enjoyment in anything. You know, it's just not, you just, there's no enjoyment in things. Because the real thing that we find fulfillment, and this is what Solomon, remember, was in pursuit of. He wanted to find out, what's really the meaning of all this? What's this life all really about? Where is true fulfillment? And tonight, as we wrap up at the conclusion, we find all of what he where he ends up with it. And we know it ends up in that relationship again, and that it's with the Lord. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, Solomon says, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Solomon is just saying here simply, these first couple of verses, and he's stating really a truth here about giving. And that having that sense of, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. He's saying, you know, that truth about giving, that you can't outgive God. And it's just especially true, you know, in the Lord, that, you know, if we lend, you know, the Bible says if we give to those who are poor, that we lend to the Lord. and God will not be a debtor to any man. So, you know, and the Bible says that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it also describes the idea of giving, that if you give, it's going to be returned back to you, mashed down, pressed out, and overflowing. And so that's the heart of God. You know, giving is an interesting thing. Giving releases you and me from ourselves. It releases us from our own sin nature, that sin nature that is so caught up in self. Giving releases us from that. You know, I think that was great, really, honestly, on Sunday night. Great example for our body. You know, we aren't this gigantic body with massive, massive resources, you know? And yet, we gave of what we were able to give. You know, and I know God honors that. God honors that kind of giving where you just do with, you know, you just put it out there and not looking for anything in return. But God honors that heart in a body of believers, I believe, in a corporate group, you know, the body of Christ. I believe he honors that in our individual lives as we just give to the Lord. And simply, Solomon's just saying here, you know, not storing up. He says, cast your bread on the waters. You know, that's kind of one of their terms. You know, for us, it would be, you know, storing it and you know, keeping it for ourselves for later or something. He just said, now let it go. You know, and then he says, don't just give to seven, but give to eight also. You know, just give. Be of a giving nature. God just has a real heart for that. You know, he gave us his son. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to all of us that we might have everlasting life. God, our God is a God who gives. And he honors that heart of just dispensing. You know, I think it's so important to maintain that kind of philosophy and remembering that we can't outgive the Lord. Whatever we do, God's going to bring it back and bless our lives. Now, I think, again, it sets us free from our own selfish nature. You know, if you look at the economy of God, if we just took the concept, the biblical concept of tithing, the tenth, you know, if we just took that concept, and we took that concept and we said, well, you know, that means God leaves you with 90% to do with as you choose. You know, sometimes we're so distraught over the tithe or this idea of giving this way. You know, but God's allowing you to be responsible for 90% of it. You know, he's saying the tithe was never really ours anyway. That was to be given to the Lord anyhow. I just find it fascinating. And that, you know, the Bible's so clear. You know, if we try and even hold on to our own lives, we're going to lose it. And I think so much is true that way. You know, it's just so important to be of a nature like God's nature. And that's just to be giving. It sets us free from ourselves. I need that. You need that. We need that. God knows we need that. To be just set free, to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on the Lord and being set free from that. You do not know what evil will be on the earth. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's happening. And it's important to just continue to give. Now, he carries on the same thought as he goes into verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So there's always this excuse that's there as to why a person doesn't sow, or this idea of maybe giving or being hospitable, or, you know, giving of oneself or one's time, or even just being friendly to someone. You know, sometimes that's just quite a gift, just being friendly to somebody, you know? And especially when you think about it, when maybe you don't quite feel like being friendly. You know, maybe you're having a day that's not going quite so well. But that idea of being able to extend of oneself, there's always an excuse or a reason not to do that. You know, and this is what he's talking about. He's saying there's always these reasons of why I wouldn't sow. You know, it's really not the right time to do that. It's really not the right time. I'm not prepared for that. I couldn't, you know, and it's always this tomorrow, 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 and it, but tomorrow doesn't come because we just keep putting it off. We keep putting it off. You know, I love this when we come across these places in Scripture like this, and you think about it in regards to salvation. And when I'm sharing the gospel, today is the day of salvation. For someone who's lost, today is the day of salvation. The Lord would knock on people's hearts. You know, when you're talking with people and interacting with the non-believer, remember that. Today is the day of salvation. There's always going to be an excuse of why today is not a good day. You know, there's always going to be this thing that somebody's going to say. But it's important for us to remember, no, today is that day. And to urge, to challenge people to make that move, to follow the Lord. Because never, it's never really a good time. I talked with many of you, you know, as you're younger, and I know there are several who desire to have children, and some are in the process of beginning to start families and stuff. And, you know, some people want to, you know, map it all out and get it just in this right time frame. You know, there's never really, in my experience, there's never really just the right time to start having kids. You never have enough money to pay for them. You never have, you know, I mean, there's never the right time for all of it. You know, and if you're going to wait for the right time, you'll probably never start a family, you know. And it's just one of those, that's the way life is. And I look at some of these observances as Solomon's just kind of looking at these and kind of painting these word pictures for us of life, really. And just kind of these snippets here and a snippet there. And I really see that. It's really truth. Is there really the right time to be giving or to be planting? And there's always a reason why, well, maybe I'm not going to do that today because, you know, and there's a reason given. Verse 5, he says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. You know, we really don't know the ways of God. You know, God challenges us. And again, you know, he challenges us to be obedient to him. That's what he calls out to us. You know, just be obedient to him. We don't know exactly how everything's going to work. Again, this idea of it's not really a good time for me to be loving, for me to be caring, for me to be, it's not convenient. It's not, you see, to be giving of ourselves, of our time, our energies, our resources, it's never really just the right time. That thought's always back there. And there's these excuses and these reasons that happen in life, and we can put things off. But in this verse, it's really kind of clearing up for us. Well, we really don't know God's ways exactly. And he tells us to be obedient to him. That's really what he tells us to do. And again, I would challenge you to go back and just think of the other evening. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, where everything's all set up and it starts raining. You know, and that's kind of discouraging, you know, when you're putting something together and you're wanting to reach out and all of a sudden, you know, it's raining. You know, and a lot of the stuff's outside. And, you know, I thought about it for a while. You know, as this started, I had enough time to walk around out in the rain for a few minutes before we got together for prayer. And I really knew it was time we got to get together and pray about, you know, just pray together and see what the Lord's doing and just bring it before him. But I don't know what God's doing. And, you know, you got to understand, as a pastor, sometimes things start running around in your head. Like, you want everything to be okay for everybody. You know, that's just, it's a pastor thing. You want everybody to be, you want sheep to be comfortable. You want things to be okay. You want everybody to be okay, all right, you know. And you don't want anybody to get all discouraged or bummed or whatever. But you know what's so great about the Lord? Because I thought about that. That's my, kind of my natural circumstances. I'm like, I can think, oh man, I want everybody to be okay with this, you know. But the Lord spoke to my heart, like, you know, I ask you, your group, you guys, to do this. You're not supposed to be worried about the outcome. And that's what we talked about that evening, right when we're getting started. Hey, you know, the Lord asked us to be obedient, didn't he? He asked us to do that, and that's what we did. And God took care of all the rest. But our faith was in him, not in the weather, not in the circumstances, not in each other, we're just trusting the Lord. Hey, I don't know exactly what this is all about. I don't know why he's allowing this to happen. And a lot of us can say a lot of things going on in our lives. We can scratch our heads and go, I don't know exactly why God's allowing this to happen. But it doesn't mean you stop or you put on the brakes or you get all bummed and distraught over it all. You just keep moving forward. Hey, I don't know. God just told us this. I mean, you think about, really, you think about Noah. And I really encourage you to get the Hanna-Barbera version of Noah's Ark, because I really like that version, the cartoon version for the kids. I like these guys that are out there jeering and, you know, making fun of Noah and his three sons. You know, they're just kind of burning on him and, you know, just, you know, bagging on him real bad. And, you know, acting like they're just the fools and they're the idiots and all this and that. You know, at the end, man, these are the guys just scraping at the door at the ark, trying to get in as they're drowning in the floods. They made fun. They make fun of us and our Christianity. Interesting, as we looked at the elections just went on. And yet, really, so many are scratching their heads just going, man, it doesn't make sense. It's almost like this thing just followed some morals line or something. You know, I'm just going, my gosh, are you kidding me? You know, are we living on the same planet in the same country? Yeah, it sure did go along those lines. Wake up. It's kind of like The Passion of the Christ, the movie. Everybody made fun of him. Everybody burned on him. This is just a dumb thing that you're doing. This is ridiculous. Just like they did with Noah and his sons. This is ridiculous. This is dumb. And yet that thing, you'll never even get your money back. Boy, I hope it works out for you. We aren't going to touch it, you know? And yet God's blessed, you know? The interest in that worldwide was unbelievable. They showed that thing in Japan, and it was phenomenal what God's done for them. There's people who have gotten saved over there and have come into some of the fellowships that we're in fellowship with over there through just that. So you look at this and you say, you know, yeah, they're going to make fun, you know, and they'll make fun of us too. And it's never it doesn't always seem like it's the convenient time to be obedient, you know, but we're to be obedient by faith to trust the Lord in the midst of our circumstances. Hey, I don't know. You know, we can scratch our heads about a lot of things, you know, of what God's doing and how God works things out. But we don't know God's ways, and we're just to follow him. We're to trust him. We're to know, hey, God's in control. And I think it was awesome. I mean, just watching how things played out the last 24 hours or so, you know, exciting just to see God's hand and see how things go and know God. Either way, God's in control, but it's really encouraging to watch things as they are, especially in these last days. Verse 6, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. This idea of continuing to give, continuing to, you know, walk with the Lord, continuing to share Jesus Christ, continuing to be who God's called you to be. Just continue on with it. You know, it's like what we talked about, that whole idea. Just continue with it. God's be obedient to what he said told us to do. Be like Noah. Just go ahead and build the ark. Well, it's never rained before. That looks pretty stupid. Yeah, it does. I mean, I understand there's a lot, I scratch my head at a lot of different things that go on in my life. And yet, every day, you can look back just a little bit, and you can say, wow, I get it. And then, God just gives you that encouragement to look forward and say, I can trust you for tomorrow too, Lord. I know I can't, because of your faithfulness yesterday. You know, that's so awesome, isn't it, brothers and sisters? To think about it in that light, just say, man, Lord, you know, you were so faithful yesterday. And I can see that. And as I look forward towards tomorrow, your faithfulness today and yesterday and the days before, and I can see your hand in situations in our lives. You know, I believe God's called us together. See, I believe we're called to a fellowship. And I believe God's calling Christians to assemble as Christians. To be believers. To be followers of Jesus Christ. I believe God calls us to this place and this time for his reason, for his purpose. And I tell you, I don't understand all of what he's got for all of us, but I know he's got this plan, and he's called us together. And he's calling us out of different situations and different places and different walks of life, and he's pulling us together for this purpose and plan that he's got. He loves this city. God loves this country. And we're right in the center of this country. And God loves this country. And God loves this city. God loves the people around us. And God wants he's just looking. The Bible says for one person, he searches to and fro across the face of the earth for one person, that he can show himself strong on behalf of that person. In other words, that he can come in that life. And I believe he does that with bodies of believers too, that he longs to come in to that body and show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are for him. It's really those hearts that are really are locked in step walking with him. You know, it's not, we can't lead a perfect life, can we? We can't show or develop or show and reveal this perfect life to him, but we can reveal the love and the light of God. That's what we're able to do. And so, as we look at this, we want to keep sowing seed. It says, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will probably. In other words, we don't know what that God tells us. You know, I sit on a plane. And I sit there, and the person comes and sits next to me. And I always pray before I get on the plane. You know, I don't know who's you're gonna bring, Lord, but whoever you want to sit by me, fine. I'm okay by myself too, Lord. Whatever you want to do, but you know, I'll read and enjoy myself. But either way, I'm cool with it. But you know, the Lord, as of late, God's been bringing a lot of young people across my path, just college age people and stuff, just across my path. That's just what He's been bringing across my path. And you know, I don't know. Which person, you know, is going to come to the Lord or which person. But all I know is I'm to throw the seed out there. That's what I'm to do. I'm to sow the seed. Just throw it out there. Throw the information, the God truth of the living God. Throw it out there to them. What they do with that is between them and the Lord. Because, see, I don't know which situation's going to prosper. You see, I don't know which one's going to be which way. I don't know which way is going to go. I can't know those things. Those are in the heart and the mind of God. But what's our role as Christians? Keep sowing. Keep giving. Keep loving people. Keep pointing them to Jesus Christ. Stay on the course that God's put for each of us. Stay with it. Don't lose track of any of it. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Just stay with it. Great observations, I think, here by Solomon. Truly the light is sweet in verse 7, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Again, this idea of everything's going to pass away, everything's going to pass quickly. It's all just a vapor, kind of emptiness in that sense. But the light of day is good. The light of day is good. And it's the light of life. And it's kind of saying, hey, be thankful that you're alive. You know, be thankful and enjoy your life. We're to enjoy all the days of our lives. And I think that's important as Christians, especially, that we're to celebrate life, enjoy life. Not just be bombed and discouraged with our circumstances, but to celebrate the fact that we have life and enjoy it. And not to be caught up and lost in all the problems that are there, but to enjoy it. And then also he says, let him remember the days of darkness, or possibly that days of death, that time when life would end. And for there will be many, this eternity. Kind of an illusion, you know, he's kind of alluding here to eternity itself. And to keep our focus right. Life is short, and eternity is a long time. But life goes by quick, doesn't it? Eternity is forever and ever and ever. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Again, not just that they're, you know, a vain, a bad thing. It's just that, man, it passes quick. It's a vapor. You know, think about how quick that it goes by. Enjoy, it really, is what he's saying, your youth. And because it passes so quickly. Now, I think about this, and I think, you know, that's a good thought to consider, especially when you're raising a family and stuff, and you got kids, and you know, it's they're funny, you know, especially they got a lot of extra energy, and they're goofy at all these different stages and ages, aren't they? They got to get silly sometimes and all this stuff that goes on with it. But, you know, I think as parents, one of our roles is to not be I'll just share my heart on this. I don't like being the cop all the time, you know, having to police everything and just, oh my goodness, it's too much, you know. So I always used to tell the kids, you know, when I get home and say, listen, you know, I want to come home and wrestle around and have a good time. Now, when you get home from school and you're acting lame and you're giving your mom a hard time and all that, that means none of us are going to have a great evening because I always want to have a good time. But you help to be a part of us having a good time or not. So they understand responsibility and of their actions. And so that, you know, I don't want to always have that put on me that I'm the bad guy. You know, you did it. I'm just got to deal with it, you know. So kind of keep the responsibility in the right court. But I think that's part of teaching. But I've always been one that to understand that young people are young people. You know, they're young people. And they got a lot of energy. And they're just full of youth, you know, and that's okay. That's all right that they're like that. That's good. I wouldn't want it any other way. And I think sometimes as we get a little more miles on us, we kind of want them to be more like us because we're not like them anymore. So we're less like them and head more the other way. And so, you know, we we've got to remember to embrace that and know that that's where they're at and to enjoy that. I just think it's important. I think it's something that can kind of slip through easily. Remember now, verse 1. Yeah, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So this again, this idea of serve God, give him your life, even when you're a young person, even when you're young, giving your heart to the Lord and following the Lord. So important. So, so important. I think any opportunity I ever have to invest in anybody, I want to do it. And I certainly want to do it with young people. I like to invest in people's lives because it makes a big difference for the future. In the first church that we pastored a number of years ago, you know, the average age was of the congregation combined was probably barely hitting 20 years old. You know, that was the mean average. You know, they're just really, really young. And but it's important to pour our lives into people, and especially young people, and to give them the hope of the Lord in the future so that they can grow and follow God. So this idea of just serving God while you're young. Verses 2 through 7 here, Solomon kind of describes for us kind of what happens as we get a little bit older. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return. So, you know, all our bodies is kind of given these word pictures of, you know, our sight and different things. We start to, you know, the body starts to wear down. The body starts to, it just starts to wear down. Sorry about that, but it just happens, you know, for all of us. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, and when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And so here again, he's just recounting this idea here of just the frailty of the human condition, and that you know, our bodies go into a decline. Verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. He says, you know, it's just vapor. It's empty and it's passing quickly. And you know, as you start getting a little bit older, you start to realize that, how quick it starts going by. You don't think it. It's hard to remember maybe back, but do you remember before you had your driver's license? it seemed like it was going to be forever till you could get your driver's license. You know, I remember just thinking about it, thinking, oh, man. You know, you remember when you're 13, 14, 15 years old? I had older brothers and sisters, so I remember them getting their licenses. And I remember just thinking, oh, man, wish I had my license, you know. It just seemed like it was going to be forever. Then you get your driver's license, then it's like, man, I can't wait till I'm 18, you know. I'll just do what I want. See what they think about that, you know. You know, you kind of go through all that stage in your mind, you know. Can't wait till I'm 18. And you think, oh, man, when I'm 21, you know what? I can go anywhere I want and do whatever I want, you know, I'm 21. So you get these milestones. All of a sudden, you know, I don't know. I guess we run out of milestones after a while. But, you know, you start hitting those spots. But then it starts, you start looking back the other way. After a while, you start looking back the other way. And you start seeing, boy, how quickly it goes. How isn't it our life important when you look now back at how quickly it goes? I'm starting to look at the value now of each day. I used to look at things in years, in five-year increments, and these bigger. Now I'm kind of looking, hey, you know, I'm kind of looking at each day at a time, kind of focused a little more. I still feel real young, but I just know that time is changing, you know, in my perception of it. Because a day is real valuable, because I know I've got that day. Tomorrow, I'm wise enough now to know tomorrow, I'm not guaranteed that. I'm sure of that now. And yesterday, it's done. I can't worry too much about, but I got right now. And so I'm focused more on that, you know, that span time. I'm still looking to the future, still got vision for what God might be wanting to do in my life, but I'm a lot more concerned, if you will, about that day that we have. Because what can happen is sometimes we can start being so focused out here that we miss the enjoyment of today. We miss what God might be doing today because we're so lost looking out towards the future. And so we want to keep it balanced. It's right to have vision. It's right to have hope for the future. It's like he said here, it's important to put that youthful energy into good things, you know, into the things of the Lord, to stay focused on God. And even though knowing that, hey, this, because one day this body's going to start going the other direction, and it all just goes by quick. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught. And this is Solomon speaking of himself, okay? He called himself the preacher. He was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Many of the things that we've read through and discussed are some of the teachings and the things that Solomon was going through. I'd like to look at Solomon in kind of a different, or I like to look at him in a little bit different perspective, maybe not quite so judgmental. I understand he's in a backslidden condition. And I understand that he's gotten dissonant from the Lord and that his relationship is strained with God. And I'm not advocating that at all. But I appreciate the Holy Spirit moving through him and having, and I see the value of these things being penned for us by the Spirit of God, because this is the truth and this is the window and the mind's eye of a person that's gotten distant from God. And I appreciate the Lord putting that in there because it reminds me of how important it is to stay close with the Lord. Solomon having all these things, all the really advantages of life, and yet still slipped away. Isn't that interesting? That's fascinating to me. Because we've always got the, well, if I, you know, we've got these ideas in our minds about all the what ifs. And Solomon had all the what ifs, you see? And it still evaded him. Because he didn't keep focused on the main thing. And I really believe for all of us, that's what's so important. You know, one of my buddies, we still travel together, and is just a real close friend of mine, and is in ministry also, and we went through pastors, because several of us that I still run around and travel with, we all went to pastor school together, and got trained in ministry together and stuff many years ago now, and I remember sitting there, and he and I were in a lot of the same classes together, and you know, we were a little bit odd. I don't know, maybe just because. We were probably definitely some of the younger guys in the group. And we were guys that, you know, weren't staff members anywhere or anything. And we were just, I don't know, different somehow a little bit than some of the other fellas that we were with. And But some of the other fellows, you know, they asked a lot of, to me, seemed really funny questions. You know, I don't, and I think a lot of times it's just they wanted to ask things that made other people think that they were really smart or something, or that they were real spiritual, or that they were real something. I don't know what all they were driving at. I don't even know if they knew what they were driving at. But it was one of those things, because you get into theology and some of this stuff, there's a lot of potential pondering over some things. And, you know, I'm good with all that, but I really want to know how I'm going to help somebody. I need to know how the rubber's going to hit the road. I've just got this innate desire. I need to know. I see the car. I see the keys sitting over there. I need to know that I can grab the keys and drive the car, you know? I need that. I need to know that. And it really, I don't like to get hung up on this other stuff. And so when I read this and I think about this, you know, this is Solomon, you know, kind of looking at all this through this mind's eye of someone who's kind of gotten distanced from God. And so there's all this value there for that. And as we look at this, it says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. His heart was still to convey truth. You know, he's a little messed up. He's a little bit sideways on some stuff. But his bent inside is still good. He's still bent towards and has this propensity and tendency towards the truth. And he's still wanting to convey truth. Again, remember, he's looking at things from this vantage point of been there, done that. Okay? And he's looking at it from that vantage point, and now he's trying to convert this and trying to articulate this and trying to get it in writing in a way that's going to do something for you and for me, to tell us something that maybe we can avoid that pitfall. See, that's more the perspective that I think is healthy to view some of this in. Instead of that judgmental view of, oh, that's Solomon, man, he just got off the wall, you know? Okay, but God saw fit to keep it in there for us, to speak to our hearts. His tendency and his desire was still to teach the truth and to bring forth knowledge. And yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He still pondered those truths and he still set those things in order. You know, there's no doubt that Solomon understood by just these statements that he was struggling himself. Just by the mere fact that he stated this, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yes, and pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. He wanted to articulate things right, convey it in just the right way, and what was written was upright, words of truth. His desire was still to convey truth. I think that's awesome. And again, we're kind of wrapping up this area of Ecclesiastes. We're wrapping up, and he's coming full circle now, right? So we got to give him that. We got to, you know, understand he's coming full circle now. He's coming back around, getting back to really what really matters. And he's saying the truth is what really matters. And what I like about this, Solomon, in the midst of all his struggles, is still interested in sharing the word. He's still interested in sharing God's truth in the midst of his struggles. He wants to share, as Paul told the young, you know, his young proteges, he said, you know, be ready to share the word in season and out of season. Be ready to dispense the truth when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When things are going well, when things aren't going quite so well. I have found an interesting truth. In my life, I have found this to be factual, and in my interaction with many other believers, I found this to be the same truth. That it's not always so much when everything's going just so, that God is really moving in my life and in many other believers' lives. It's kind of those times when you're that grape that's just getting squished and trampled and stomped on, and just every ounce of everything left is just being squeezed right out of you. And that's where you find God moving in these awesome, powerful ways. Hindsight, see, walking with the Lord, having a few miles on us can be advantageous because we can look back now at some of these times and say, you know, I remember when I was so befuddled. I'm not really sure what that means, but it sounds like it fits in this case. You know, so distraught over my circumstances and so unsure of what really was happening, except one thing. I knew the truth. I knew God was on the throne. I knew God loved me. I knew God had a plan for my life. What that plan was, complete unplugged disconnect. I'm not sure. But I know there's a plan. You know, I know God's doing something. And I'm trusting the Lord. And I'm just out there, really on the limb of faith, just out there with God. And I remember sharing Jesus in some of these times. Had recently just recommitted my life to the Lord. Didn't really know much about Scripture, nothing. And just simply just shared with people. And God was just bringing people, much larger scale problems than I had going, into my life. And I'm thinking, oh man, I can't deal with their problems too, Lord. I can't even deal with mine. I'm going to, you know, just spin a bearing here pretty soon. So much less deal with somebody else's. Lord, hey, I'm not asking you to deal with anything. I just want you to reveal me. Just tell them about me. I mean, the Lord would whisper that to me. So I'd just tell them about me. You know, I don't get into some big, I really avoid any kind of real heady, deep, big theological discussions, you know, while traveling or interacting with people that I don't, they're just meeting them. Why? The Lord's always whispering in my heart, in my ears, just tell them about me. Tell them about me. Tell them about me. And you know, when I tell them about the Lord, see, then I'm telling them about me too. I'm telling them about how Jesus changed my life. How Jesus came in and changed the circumstances of my life in the midst of craziness and nonsensical circumstances. And yet God was moving. And I look back now and I see, wow. I look back at so many of my friends who didn't know Jesus. And in the midst of their distress and their problems, and I didn't know anything except for Jesus. I told him, I don't know. The only way I found any sanity was I just got on my knees and I surrendered, man. I cried uncle. You ever used to wrestle with your older brothers or sisters or anything like that when you're a kid? Crying uncle. You know, you cry uncle, you let give up. I'm surrendering. And I give my life over to Jesus. I tell him, I tell him, I don't understand all this really, but I know it to be true. And I know he changed my life, and I'm not carrying the burden anymore of all the sin. I've been set free. And you know, that's what people need to know. And you don't have to wait till things are all in order. See, a lot of times we think, well, I got to get this in order before, you know, Satan comes into our minds and says, hey, you're kind of like a bowl of scrambled eggs, man. What are you going to tell somebody about your life for and about what God's doing for you? Look at your life. It's just a mess. You know? Yeah. But I've got hope. I didn't have hope before. They just got the mess. But I got a mess and I got hope. You know? And that's a lot better. You know? I'd rather have the hope and the mess than just the mess. And then eventually you start finding, you know, it's like you go fishing with your kids and you go fishing and, you know, boy, you let them, the line comes flying off the reel. It's all balled up. And, you know, I had three boys, so I'm forever like, you know, so much for fishing. I didn't even take a pole anymore. I just sat there and untangled their line for them, you know. That's how I spent my days fishing with the boys, untangling the line. Well, I learned, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart while I was sitting there on a rock one day doing that, you know. And they're just sitting there, come on, Dad, we want to, you know, got two of them going. Now this one's spun his line out, you know. And the Lord just said, you know, your life's like that. Your whole life's going to be like that. Just untangling fishing line. You know? That's a lot of life's like that. Just got to be patient. Just got to get down through it. Sometimes I sever the bad stuff off and pull out the rest of the line and move on, you know. Put a new hook on there. It's a lot easier, you know. The whole idea, though, is that, man, you know, we can think about it and we say, I look back on those times, it was a blast. My kid, we all laughed about it. It was fun. That was life. You see, a lot of times, if we just said, well, okay, dear, you've ruined the day for us. Load up the stuff. We're going home. You know, what kind of a memory is that? You know, that's sometimes the way we approach maybe those people in our workplace, maybe those people we're around. We don't want to interact with them because our life is all, the fishing lines all come off. And we're so busy working on our fishing line that we're not helping somebody else. God's going to take care of my fishing line. See, Jesus sits on the rock with me and untangles my fishing line. He just straightens it all out for me. So I don't have to worry about my fishing line. I'm supposed to go out and extend, hey, I got a buddy that can help you fix your, you know, I got a dad. He's patient. He'll sit on the rock right there with you and untangle your fishing line. You know, that is the truth of the matter. You see, but if I wait till I get all my stuff straightened out, how many people, how many encounters have I had, missed opportunities to just, all I got to do is point, I don't need to fix everything. I just got to point somebody out to who can fix it. Jesus can fix it. Our Heavenly Father's patient and He will fix it. So don't wait. God moves mightily, even in our distresses. He really does. You may scratch your head and say, why am I living where I'm living? Why have I gotten into this spot? What's going on with my life? I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for this. All those things, I know. But God knows more. God's got a purpose and a plan in it. And that's what we're to stay with. Satan tries to rip us off in these times of struggle, trying to tell us, hey, you're not worthy. Don't talk to anybody about it. Just try and get through it. Nah, don't buy it. You're messed up. I'm messed up. We're all messed up. But we got Jesus Christ, and we got the hope of the living God within us. And that's what we've got to share with other people. That's what we all share in common. That's what we share together, is Jesus Christ and His patient love towards each one of us. This is what the preacher's telling us here. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. And he just, even in the midst of his stuff being a mess, he still sought to do the right thing. The words of the wise are like goads. You know, goads like the cattle prod, you know, that kind of a thing. They have these big staff things with points on, you know, poke it, you know, something. And get the cows and the sheep moving along, you know. Prod at them. The words of the wise are like goads. They kind of prod us along. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. That big stick to prod us along. And the words of truth, they just help to nail it down, don't they? They just nail it right down. Boom, right there. And who is it? Capital S, shepherd. The words of Jesus, the one true shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. You know, what really prods us along? What really nails things down? The truth from the Word of God really motivates, prods us along, helps us to grow, challenges us. The Word of God, the Shepherd, He is the one true living God, and He is the living Word as He prods us along through His Word. I think it's so awesome how the Lord does that in our lives, wanting to give us direction. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Well, you know, you think about this as he's wrapping things up in the conclusion. Somebody who sought to really educate himself and reads and studies and really spent a lot of time on that. Solomon was a guy like that, that really, really sought out through education. But he's saying here that of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. This idea, not that study's bad or any of that, but especially I think now in our information age, I can get information overload. I'm sure you know exactly what I mean. It's just like, For me, let me tell you for me what happens to me. I get a lot of pamphlets and a lot of stuff, and I'm real interested in a lot of the stuff, but sometimes it's an information overload. It's like book reviews and different things, and I'm interested in all of this. Some of it's like my head just I can't absorb all of it, and then much less think about what the World Wide Web does for us. You know, I mean, you get out there and you just. Oh, I find myself sometimes I'm lost for all of a sudden I look at my watch like I've been on this thing an hour, you know, gone into some vortex somewhere of information, you know, and then you start wondering why did I go, what was I looking for, you know, it's just so much, it's just too much stuff, and so I think as we look at it, in especially in our time, that can be wearisome, that can be overwhelming, and so he says, let's cut to the chase. I like this. This is where the rubber hits the road. Let's cut to the chase. All that stuff can be draining. All that stuff can be, you know, you can go over all this and you can sit through that, this class and that class, and you can study this and you can try and figure out exactly what happened at the kenosis. What really was that? What really transpired? You know, what did Jesus really empty himself of? You know, oh man, you know, he just started going down into these big swirls of thought, you know, and there's nothing wrong with contemplating, but I like it here. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, all of the experiences that Solomon had, the whole of life's, you know, real meaning, the fulfillment of life, all of the things that he sorted through, and he's given us, we've looked at it through his mind's eye. All of the situations, the circumstances, we've just kind of had this overview look as he's just kind of given us these word pictures of life. As he's showing this to us, he says, you know, really when it's all said and done, I checked out all that other stuff. He's done us a favor, really, in that sense. He saved us a lot of time. If we would apply this, fear God and keep his commandments. And what did he say? Jesus said there are just two things that we need to really be concerned about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Thus so doing, you have fulfilled all of the law. Those are the commandments for us as New Testament believers. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love God. Put God first. And then, as you know God and God knows you, love other people. Love them the way that you would want to have other treat them and care for them the way you would want to be treated for and cared for. This is the sum of it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, God sees it all, doesn't he? There's nothing hidden from his sight. He knows our lives. He knows our thoughts. He knows our minds and our hearts. And, you know, it's just so important. And so I'm so thankful that we have Jesus Christ in our lives. He, you know, he's washed and cleansed our hearts and our minds as we surrender our lives over to him. As we continue to have fellowship with him and walk with him. There's nothing wrong, brothers and sisters, with engaging in interesting topics and studying through things in Scripture and all that. I mean, I invest time in this. And there's value in all of that. But the sum of it is this, fear God and keep his commandments. That's where we're heading. That's what we want to point towards. That's what it's all about. We want to keep in fellowship with the Lord, walking with God, knowing Jesus Christ, being in fellowship with him, and then being able to interact with other people in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to God. It's that simple.